Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by Me Undies. Go get you some. They're terrific on your tuchus, nice and soft. Hey, coming up today, we are going to be going over the top 200 players list issued by our pal Michael Fabiano. Cynthia Freeland also here in Studio 66. Real quick, before we get to all that stuff, a couple things. Top 100 now all the way through 71 names, I think. So from 100 down to 71 was on that on Monday night. Look for that on NFL.com and beyond. We'll see where that lands. The big outrage there. Phillip Rivers, number 73, meaning that 14 NFL quarterbacks are rated ahead of him. That seems loco. Anywho, we'll focus on the running backs coming up. I think that's a fascinating position going into 2017. It's not even summertime yet, but Fabiano always toiling, burning the midnight oil. We'll talk about that. MVP behind the glass. We had Bartlett miss both of our occasions, but we had some belts over the last few days. Bartlett missed our farewell to spaghetti.
Right.
We went to Joxer's here in Culver City, walked down the street, a gaggle of us, had some beers. It was a gay time. That started the weekend. And then, as serendipity would have it, I was out with David Feeney. The Daves of Thunder fans will know him. The Feensters Union members need no introduction there. But MVP, you got your introduction walking by. You were on your way to get your haircut.
Right. Just going to get my haircut. I hear you shout MVP.
That's right.
Down
the street.
Meet Feeney. I've heard so much about him.
Ventura Boulevard. Yeah,
yep.
We were sitting in there in Laurel Tavern. It's mm-hmm. a good little bar, right?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So you came in there. You drank some rosés with us under the light of day. It was mm-hmm. terrific.
It was great.
Feeney drank beer.
Right, you know, and I were the rosé.
He's too macho. But you know what? As we head towards summer, another reminder, everybody, rosé's the way to go. It's crisp and refreshing when the summer's warm. Let's see if we can add them. Me Undies, terrific sponsor, but wouldn't mind if someone, you know, a rosé maker wanted to jump in on there, you know?
Totally agree with that. I'll look into it.
All right, let's do that. Now let's get to the matter at hand, the top 200. Joined now in Studio 66 by two wizards of the advanced numbers. Is that a good way of putting it? That's not the way
I think
you like
he's
it.
A Hall of Famer.
He's more of a wizard than I am.
He's the Hall of Fame.
He's a Hall of Famer, and I'm just the newbie.
I like the fact that Cynthia Freeland, let's say hello to her first of all. You see her all over NFL media. Well, you see both of them all over NFL media talking about fantasy, statistics, what the statistics mean, so on and so forth. We'll start out, because I'm a gentleman, with a regular here seated to my immediate left in Studio 66. It's Cynthia Freeland.
Well, hello.
She has a theme song.
It's incredible.
That means you've made it here.
It's Marianne's daughter here to steal the show. Back in the day, she had a mullet with a funky flow. Running marathons for her fitness goals. On the DDFP, she got the stat control. Cause when it comes to the numbers, she's a gunslinger. She do the math in her head, she don't count fingers. No one to question in numbers, surely waste to you. She's from Michigan, yo, it's Cynthia.
I know.
There it is, Cynthia.
I know, Fab.
What I heard,
impressive.
Cynthia.
You should see it, too. I know you can't impressive. See it right now. It is amazing.
You know what, Cynthia? What I heard when I asked you, so advanced numbers people, I heard, well, he's a Hall of Famer. What
Which
I heard in between
good.
was the subtle little passive aggressive, like, he's not a numbers guy.
No, he's a numbers guy.
Not as much
he's
as you
He's a numbers
are.
Guy.
Not as much
he
as
is.
You are.
But I was just trying to give him his, you know,
you go
he's
high
a Hall
voice,
of Famer.
You're going like Sean Spicer. Now, frankly, I know. Betrays your true feelings, Cynthia. Anyhow, also seated to Cynthia's left, he is the Hall of Famer.
No,
one of our favorites.
Music.
The OG, me, him, Rank, and Michelle Beisner, the OGs from NFL Fantasy Live. He is now nothing less than a celebrity. Football America over for his fantasy insights. We're going to go over his top 200 list here.
Woo-hoo!
Just a second. It's Michael Fabiano. What's the poop, fella?
Yeah. Now, if I get my boys from Alice in Chains to do a theme song for me, can I come on with that theme song on the DDF?
I mean, come on. I'm not impressed by name drops. especially 2017.
Well, because you know,
Alice
I'm not a big fan of the you know, the rap music.
Yeah,
that was
the rap
though.
Music.
It was incredible.
Well, are you 74 years old?
When it comes
the rap
to that,
music?
I absolutely am. I may be older.
I apologize.
And also in defining thirst trap.
Just before
that
we got
a salty
going,
meal?
Thirst trap.
Fabs defined it as either. A salty meal.
I didn't know what it was either.
Well, Fabs defined it as a salty meal, which is the best definition I've ever heard.
Salty looking meal.
Yeah, I'm sorry if it smells here in 66. Just before we got going here with Cynthia and Fabs, I did have a little lamb curry.
But you have to tell everyone the better news.
Is that I'm a little dewy from it?
No.
No, you're getting in shape. Sweat. You're down how many pounds now?
9 pounds.
Check.
Is it just diet, or are you actually exercising?
I haven't even begun the exercise portion of the process yet.
So just diet.
I like it.
And
summer bod
summer's
time.
On the way.
Summer bod.
This has only happened in my universe a couple of times in my adult years, is with summer here, I will become bronze, as you know, because wow. The sun likes my olive flesh. Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah, my Mediterranean flesh. So so it agrees with that. So then that ushers in the Bronze Age. But then the when I get in shape, Iron Age. When the Bronze Age overlaps,
what I want to know is,
look out, sorry, ladies.
Are you breaking
I'm
out the speedo?
For.
Here's the
don't try to thirst trap me. What's a thirst trap? Marianne Freeland's young little daughter. What does it mean to be thirst trapped?
Yeah, tell us all.
I believe our listeners already know.
No, I didn't. I had no idea.
Basically, when you see a girl put out a very sexy photo on maybe Instagram or whatever, okay. They're trying to kind of bait you to slide into their DMs.
Okay.
Do people slide into your DMs a lot, Fabs?
I feel sad, Fabs, that you and I have never been.
There are no sexy pictures of me on Instagram. I can promise you that.
But do people try to slide into your DMs?
There are no sexy pictures of me, period.
Fabs, do people slide into your DMs?
Define slide into my DMs.
Means like send you a direct message, either like a private message on Twitter or on Instagram or on Facebook or whatever.
Well, you can't do that on Twitter unless you follow each other, right?
But do they try to like get you to...
Oftentimes.
You know,
I think the more damning thing is, Fabs, that because you and I have never been targeted by this.
You've been targeted. They put it out there for everyone. They're trapping you. It's not necessarily targeted. They're just trying to get you to like follow them back so you can have a conversation.
Makes me feel sad.
Right.
In a way, I've always said that and then we are going to talk about fantasy in a second. But
this is another fantasy.
Who is the guy? Is it Alan Ball? Is that the guy who?
No idea who that is.
American Beauty and then 6 Feet Under. Wasn't that his name? Alan Ball, the show
Christian Bale?
Creator and runner. Either way.
Google.
He had a magnificent home, may still have it. I guess he would have made a lot of money in show business. Had a magnificent home perched up in the Hollywood Hills. A number of years ago, probably 13, 15 years ago now,
this.
There was a big party. My friend said, we got to go. It's a big party he's throwing. We go to it, and like I say, this picturesque home out looking out over the greater Los Angeles area. And as we walk in, it occurs to all of us, Alan Ball is gay and has only invited only men to this party, literally. Literally,
so that's a huge compliment for you.
200 to 200. Well, I wasn't invited. I was tag along.
Got it.
About 20 to 30 minutes in, you know, literally I'm talking about the only guys are there. Mm-hmm. I was there for a good 20 minutes, almost a half an hour. Not one guy came up and talked to me. And that hurt my feelings.
Well, maybe they thought that you were so attractive you were already taken.
What does that say about me? No one's ever thirst gulped me or whatever it's called. And Alan Ball's house, 200 fellas. Not one comes over to say hello.
You walked in with someone?
With fellas.
Correct.
Well,
so they
you
thought
go.
You were spoken for.
Right. It wasn't just a plus one. It was like there were like four or five fellas.
You were
there.
Rolling four or five deep.
Not
didn't
one
know.
Person came over to say hello. What's up with you, man?
That's decorum. They didn't
want
to hit
doing?
On someone else's dude. Yeah. They didn't want to hit on someone else's dude. That's silly.
When's it my turn? That's what I mean.
You
I don't
have
mean
four
I don't mean
kids,
necessarily
it's been your turn.
There. Yeah. I'm talking right. Yeah, that's,
yes.
I just mean when's it my turn in the spotlight already, you know? When's it my turn to get thirsted? Or whatever it's called.
You got your name and lights behind you.
What's it
you.
Called? Catfished? When's somebody going
to
catfish me already?
I would like to be catfished. This is another story for a different
day. I want
to
be catfished.
I would like someone to try to catfish me because I want to thwart them. Like, I love that show.
I want someone to come after me to try and take advantage of me because well, listen, you know, if I can take advantage of that handsome guy. No one ever does that. Not one guy at this party came over and tried to take advantage of me. Oh, can I get you a drink? Oh, let me get you a martini. What's your name? Dave?
Do people just like –
Why didn't that happen?
Do you think people just like at parties where it's like kind of a fancy Hollywood party, they walk in and they're like, you know what? I'm just going to hit on everything that walks into that. Like every hot – no, you got like this decorum. They're being
I would agree.
Look who knows how to play the field.
You walked in with four or five guys. They're figuring out he's got to be taken.
Correct. Because, like, a guy like you, like, they would just not assume you were single. They would assume you're spoken for.
I don't know. All I know is there were a lot of people out there kibitzing about with each other about where the night was going to go. I stood there like a schnook.
Maybe they didn't like bears.
Like a schnook, so I left with my dignity barely still intact.
He doesn't respect you.
No, they didn't. Not any of those 200 men. Not one of them. Looked in Damashek's direction and said, I want a piece of that. Let's move on.
You know what, though, Dave? You've got a beautiful girlfriend, man. So I think in that whole world, you're doing pretty well for yourself.
Don't play games with
you're
me.
You're doing pretty well for yourself.
Let's talk about some other things, then. Let's talk about fantasy football, shall we? Yeah.
Fantasy.
First of all, is there anything you'd like to kibitz about, Cynthia, before we dive into Fabiano's just unveiled? You can track it down, NFL.com. His top 200 players list for 2017.
Woo-hoo!
Some may say... It's not even Memorial Day yet.
How good he is.
You know what? I say this unironically or I say this earnestly every year, even in February, let alone as summer is nigh. Michael Fabiano. I get a lot of emails, whatever, tweets, whatever, Facebook. Hey, how do you make it? How do you make it in the business? I say outwork everybody, because that's advice I got from people. Fabiano does it. He 12 months a year
Babs
he talks about fantasy football. 12
Babs
months a year
a
he's making pages. Barry else is off on the beach.
My brain hurts.
At Alan Ball's house, hitting on men that aren't Dave, you know? But Fabiano, he's making his pages. Oh, who? Yeah. Le'Veon Bell, Zeke Elliott, David Johnson? Oh, you want to wait till August? You're going to be behind the eight ball, because Fabiano told you before summer even got here, before school even let out.
Remember that.
Speaking of school letting out, can I out something about Fabs? That's
yeah. I'm sorry for my runny nose. Curry's giving me a runny nose.
It's okay. What?
It's hot.
What's
here.
Coming?
So this is actually, you'll appreciate this because with all your procreation. So Fabs was, we had a mock draft.
That's
yesterday.
The irony is that I'm among the world's most voracious lovers, and yet you know what? I mean, like you know, two or three
lovers.
Other humans are aware of that fact.
Two or three. Oh God.
Doesn't sound like too big a crowd.
Sounds
Will Chamberlain had a bigger cheering section. I can tell
they're
you.
They're your skills as a lover. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
Please.
So here's
some
what
decorum,
I was going to say.
Please.
This is actually very cute, and I loved it. So yesterday we're doing this mock draft, and it was where it's all the fantasy family downstairs. You know, all the guys that sit there, and we're all in this group chat.
Who do you like the best out of the fantasy gang at NFL?
Oh, here we go. Put her right on the spot.
I mean,
with me sitting right next to her.
Yeah,
Fabs
Fabiano,
the longest
Rank,
of all of them.
Marcus, Gelhar, Harmon, Franciscovich. Who's your favorite?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question.
Take a
I've known Fabs the longest,
that's a different category.
Probably Fabs. I mean, that's how you do it. We gotta go back.
Who do you like
we
the
go
least?
Back. Ooh, that's an even better question. I don't know. I actually really like our family. We have like a little family. It's
yeah, but you
dynamic.
Want like one person a little bit less. Anyway, go
I'll
ahead.
Have to think about it and get back to
what
you.
What was your cute tale?
So Fabs is sitting there and we're all kind of chatting. Well, that's the best part of all these mock drafts. And Fabs tells us that he's a little distracted because he's on dad duty and he has to wrangle an iPad away from his
Matthew
because he's playing a little too much
Minecraft. Obsessed. So. Are your kids obsessed with Minecraft?
No.
It is unbelievable. Like he could play it as long as that iPad will stay charged.
We're big into Star Wars right now.
Well, I got him into Star Wars too, and but the Minecraft, it is unbelievable. So yesterday he got a day off because my girlfriend's family is in town and they went to Disneyland. But right up to the minute where I had to get him changed and Matthew, come on, you got to get clothes on, you got to go to Disneyland. Minecraft, obsessed with it.
Naked Minecraft, apparently.
Steve. Well, that doesn't matter. when you're that age, you streak around sometimes.
Right.
Do your kids streak around? Sure. Matthew will occasionally streak around, but he's got the iPad always.
So little known fact, Fabs is like the cutest dad ever.
His little gang that he lives with, it's a wonderful stuff for Fabs. Kudos to him. Yeah, we have at the Damashek house, we have a check your clothes at the door policy for all ages. You want to come in, you come in nude. We're not hiding anything. No jive. You know how the policy in Studio 66, no jive? It extends into...
So I will be ignoring any invitations to go to Dave's house.
All right, that's your choice.
You don't want to see this naked.
No, I don't. All right, let's get through it now. Let's start talking about it. What do you want to highlight here for anyone listening right now, Fabiano, as you unveil your top 200? Let's start out at the top here, the big debate.
Yep.
A year removed from, and we witnessed it firsthand here on the DDFP, you and Harmon went toe-to-toe.
Yeah, who won that argument?
Ooh.
Well, I mean, you know what?
I'd like to know the answer to that question.
I think... On a TKO, I think you kind of won it, Fabiano.
The running
for that
back
year.
Position completely came back. The revival happened as I predicted.
Harmon was saying,
and wide receivers just took a.
All right. Well, are you ready to say that that's not going to revert?
I actually do think running back has taken a little hit this offseason.
Really?
Let's just put it that way.
All right.
A lot of running back by committees that are going to be very confusing to try and sort out in your draft.
I think that you still can't go wrong. My old line is one of my fantasy creeds is that you know why gold is valuable? Is because there's not a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with that. What did you just go ooh for?
It's kind of not true.
There's a lot of gold?
There's kind of... This is a different conversation. Keep going.
Where's there a lot of gold?
Scarcity does drive value. You're right that scarcity drives value.
But specifically with
where
gold...
Where is this gold and where can we find it?
This is a really long conversation.
There's a lot of... But in man's possession or unearthed somewhere on the big blue marble?
So... It's a much longer story, but the moral of the story is, in the case of gold, they artificially create scarcity in the gold market to keep the price high. That's pretty much all you need to do.
Well, you know what? I can work with that. I can still work with
Not
that because NFL head coaches.
She's an analytics expert, but she also knows the stock market.
What'd you say? What did they do? They falsely create scarcity?
Yeah, they regulate it to the point where it's scarce.
Well, NFL head coaches / offensive coordinators regulate scarcity in touches because in the 21st century,
very
few teams use one and only running back on first, second, third down. So it still works.
Still works.
Try to undercut me. Damashek responds. See? That's a lesson for all those guys that were at that party, too.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. But anyway,
no,
running backs are terribly valuable because there aren't a lot
at the
of guys
top, yes.
that stay on the field
yes.
into passing situations. And so to me, that it remains, if you got to land, if you want to be competitive, you still need to land one. You can be a wild card with your second running back, but your first guy still has to be one of the best out there. You're behind the eight ball from the word go.
Yep.
Who is the best one to get, Fabian?
Well, David Johnson, and I don't know that there's anyone out there who would argue that. And he was he is basically the closest thing, at least based on last year's numbers, that we've had to a LaDainian Tomlinson type of back in a while, right? I mean, Arian Foster was great for several years in Houston, but this guy is the total package in an offense that he is the centerpiece of. And you can argue Le'Veon Bell, which you might because you're a Steelers fan. You could argue Zeke Elliott as well. None of
which
those.
You might because you're a Cowboys fan.
Yes, but well,
I know, he always
third.
Does that. He always throws that in Damashek. Never looks at the man.
That's why I gave it back to him.
But I've got him third, so I don't have a number one clearly. But these will be the first three picks in every draft. Unless you're in a PPR league, maybe Antonio Brown sneaks into that top three. But those guys are the cream of the crop, the elite of the elite at that position.
Are you concerned at all? I know David Johnson is still a young fella, mm-hmm. but at some point, does attrition start to come in here? I think with Le'Veon Bell, the Steelers have acknowledged that we got to try to measure his week-to-week mm-hmm. touches and everything else. Clearly, even when they have done that, he still is perennially now seems to be getting hurt. James Conner is not a small addition, I don't think. I don't know that early in the season you're going to see Le'Veon Bell getting 25 touches a week. Fair or no?
Do you think Connor is going to put that big of a dent into Bell's touches where he's going to lose any value at all?
I think James Connor gets Williams, 3 to 9 touches
D'Angelo
a game.
D'Angelo Williams was terrific when Bell was hurt the last couple of years. And when Le'Veon was on the field and healthy, D was on the sidelines a lot. So, to me, Bell's the guy. The one thing, and you mentioned it with the injuries, he's been hurt and suspended more often than not over the last couple of years. And even at the end of last year, what happened? He got hurt again. So, that's the one downfall with Bell, is that there is a little bit of a risk of injury because he has dealt with that over the last couple of years. With that being said, he's still way too talented, and he's still young, too, for a guy who's been in the league for a few years, to look past in one of those top three picks.
Freeland.
I totally agree. I mean, I don't know what the exact order. To me, you'll have to look at kind of like who they're playing, what their schedule is like. I don't. One of these three is... He's
all the schedules
you really
are
play
pretty
that game?
Close.
You
yeah.
really play that game of
Heck,
of,
yeah,
of schedule matching in August as you're drafting a guy and you project ahead. That's assuming a great deal in the 21st century that the Team X is going to be crummy and they have them in early December.
Oh, I don't know about crummy. I just mean like where are their points of vulnerability. So like if you have a team that doesn't have a great inside linebacking core, then tight ends would be great in the beginning, right? You can do it for about maybe 4 weeks. Right, it doesn't work for forever, but if you're looking at preseason games and who's seeing the snaps in that third preseason week type of thing, to me that's, or if you see a major injury and you see like a hole in someone's defense in a certain spot, those things, I mean, to me it's kind of like, all right, I'm not going to be mad if I have any one of these three.
Let's look at this as kind of your, as you go off, as school ends, fantasy football school is wrapping up for the summer, then it will re-engage in July when they start heading off to camp.
Right.
Zeke Elliott, is this something to watch, or can you already say, Cynthia, that you feel confident in his sophomore year, Zeke is going to be more involved in the passing game, going to get more touches, or do you expect it to go the other way and maybe he won't be featured in the passing game?
Yeah, no, I think he's still going to – I don't think they're going to change. I don't think they would stop pass. I think if anything, they're going to pass him the ball more.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what would affect him jumping one or both.
Yeah. Look, you're not going to – who the number one person ends up being is very hard to pick. Plus, if you don't get the first pick in the draft, then whatever. Like, so you got to kind of piece it together anyways.
All right, then let's have this conversation.
It's
nominally
different.
Think we agree that all three – I mean, I don't know anybody who would disagree with that.
Right.
Who, if these are not the top three backs – give me three names of who will join the winner's circle. What's it called? The winner's stand?
Yep.
What's that thing called?
I know what you're talking
podium?
About.
The Olympics.
The podium?
The podium. That's right. Who's on the podium?
At running back?
If not Johnson, Bell, Elliott, who's up on that podium?
I think Jordan Howard has a good chance this year.
Really?
Because I think that the Bears have a lot of question marks in the quarterback position. I think that now they have, I mean, they have two tight ends that are serviceable. They have six on their team right now, but I think that'll be two. I think they'll stick with Miller and they'll probably add Shaheen. He'll probably make his way to the starting rotation. I'm not sure what's going on with Kevin White. Can't seem to
stay healthy.
I'm not sure who, I mean, Cam Meredith, is that like really your number one wideout? So to me, I feel like Jordan Howard, it's a lot of questions. That could be great. Because the Bears aren't that bad. They just they have two key question marks, the quarterback and the wide receiver. So to me, Jordan Howard could sneak his way up onto that podium.
And LeSean McCoy is up there too. He was
or
great.
That winner's circle.
He was great last season, McCoy.
Ponies.
Yes, he was.
Ponies.
And he missed a little bit of time. He was a little bit banged up, but he still put up great numbers. And now Gillislee is in New England.
Yep.
So there's not much behind him on the depth chart. And then also, so DeMarco Murray, look back at his last 4 years, okay? Last year, he was tremendous. He was one of the best running backs in fantasy football. The year before he was in Philadelphia, he was in running back hell with Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles, and he still finished 18th fantasy points among running backs. The year before, numero uno behind the Cowboys offensive line. And the year before that, he was on his way to being one of the better guys in the league.
Well, this brings me to what
Henry.
I was just about to Well,
but we worried about Henry last season, and it didn't
but now
affect
he's,
Murray
I
that
think
much.
That one's going to be – they're going to use him more this year.
I know that he had flashes, but I continue to be a cynic about his long term in the NFL.
I think they run DeMarco until the wheels come off.
I think they'd be smart to get them both in the rotation, so then they have kind of this two-headed monster.
Well, let me go back to what – because that really – Jordan Howard v. DeMarco Murray is sort of a perfect way to get into to the question.
Because we're perfect.
Jordan Howard running behind what is at least a really strong interior of the offensive line.
Yes.
We're in John Fox's system. We know how John Fox wants to win. The defense, I'll say it till I'm proven wrong, But they will rue not having taken Jamal Adams.
I think Jamal Adams is the best person in this draft.
Yes. If they would have taken Adams, that defense would have been ready to go in 2017. Then they just need to scratch out some points offensively, and that's winning ball. Not, you know, I backed off the 10-win season, but I think they would have flirted with 9 wins. As it is, we shall see. But specific to Jordan Howard. Now, to your point, Cynthia, we don't know about Kevin White. Who knows what's going to be with the QB? This means that Jordan Howard now has to be the focal point of the offense.
Jordan Howard also had a top five finisher last season. Yards after contact per carry.
But the question is, in broad strokes, do you want, because people get like bogged down when they're sitting there on draft day trying to figure this out. Do you want the guy who has no passing game to distract? We saw Todd Gurley destroyed by that, right? Todd Gurley in 2016 was ruined by there was no threat that they were ever going to throw the ball over your head. Ergo, the safeties went up what?
The O-line's way better than the Rams O-line.
Or do
year.
You want to DeMarco Murray's case? Now it would appear that the Titans are looking to open it up a little bit. They go and get pass catchers, and more pass catchers. This means that they probably are going to go away a little bit from pounding the ball they tried to do last year, which is the better guy. If they're the same guy, let's say it's the exact same human being. Mm-hmm. Now try to put him in two places at one time. What's the better situation if you're a fantasy drafter?
I think Chicago.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. See, it's an odd question if they're the same
guy. But you know what
guy.
I mean.
You know,
but you get my question, right? Do you want a guy who's the feature back on a crummy offense?
To me, it's,
but it's not that crummy. Like I don't. Mike Glennon will win them some games. I'm not saying he's as long.
Look who's on the right side of history. Cindy Freeland is. No one agrees with me on this. I think he's going to be fine. Then.
I don't think he's not. He's not going to be a top five. Newsflash. He's not going to be a top five quarterback. However,
agreed.
He's not going to be horrible. That O-line's good. They're a good team. They're not that terrible. If Kevin White can turn into who they thought he would be when they drafted him, they could be very good. And also, Cam Meredith was very good. We got to get over the fact that he wasn't like a primo draft pick, that kind of thing. Same with Jordan Howard. But it's not a bad team. We're not looking at, like, I think people are like making the analogy with the Rams too much. It's not at all the same team. It's not at all the same situation. The Rams moving, that's a huge distraction. That's very hard conditions to like learn and play and adapt. There's a lot of variables that happened last year.
I feel that's overstated, but all right. That's what a lot of people have said. All right. Let's get over that one. They're grown-ups in a profession.
I like to have Mariota around you. You have Corey Davis now, Rashard Matthews. You got Delanie Walker.
But I just think you start making Derrick Henry because you didn't. I mean, Derrick Henry is also very good. It's not like Derrick Henry is like a legit backup. You know.
No, I just think that they're going to and actually, you know, the Titans have already said this that. He's the featured back. He's the guy. And until I see a change in that, I'm going to ride DeMarco Murray.
Did you hear how I said back just then? It was so Michigan. Back.
Back.
I had such a Midwest accent.
Did I say that?
No, I did.
Oh, okay.
I never have that happen usually.
Look out for Amir Abdullah. He's going
to
be great.
No, it's mom, take me to the cottage. Let's go back.
I can't do any accent.
Mom,
even a Pittsburgh accent,
mom,
which I hail.
Yeah. It's bad.
Here's what is interesting to me, Fabiana. You got Melvin Gordon. I agree with that.
Yep.
And he got helped by the draft.
What's going on with this? Did you make a hole in this page?
It took three offensive linemen.
Oh, just
no,
a
that's
okay.
No. There's a little.
Thought you
mark
dug a hole.
No, that's not that. That I dropped some curry on the page, and then I tried to color it in so you wouldn't see it.
Got it.
Saw it anyway. You have at 14 Devontae Freeman. Fine, but I think the sleeper guy or the one who's hard to gauge, but I feel optimistic about him behind what. Is underrated as a really good offensive line. Jay Ajayi in 2017.
No, I don't think he's underrated. I mean, he's 15th. That's
no. I'm sorry. I could certainly see him. But you talk
Ajayi
about getting
also,
into the.
Remember, this guy rushed for over 200 yards. What, two times last year? Three times last year? He had some games where he disappeared.
I know, but that offensive line wasn't.
If
sound
it's healthy,
right.
It's very good. If that offensive line is healthy, it's
you know
very,
they
very
are a
good.
Little more healthy. I've been tracking this, so this is the first time that Bushrod has been healthy in the offseason in like 3 years. If you go back 3 years ago and you watch the film of him when he had a healthy offseason, he was excellent. I think that's part of why they
and I like Ajayi
him.
Too. He's going to get drafted in the first round in some leagues.
Meh.
I see him more as a second round pick.
Meh.
Well, he's could be a good
volume.
Low one for you.
Volume.
But you see, to the
I'm not
point
targeting
where we're,
him.
No.
What we're talking about is, so we talk about Shady, Jordan Howard, Melvin Gordon, Devontae Freeman, Jay Ajayi. after that, that's where you kind of draw the line in my book. I mean, we were talking second tier already.
Yep.
But after that, now Todd Gurley.
I think Gurley has a better year than J.J.
Okay, but Todd Gurley had an abysmal second season.
I think Carlos Hyde has a better
year
than J.J.
Then we're getting to Carlos Hyde. I like Carlos Hyde.
Three games last year, and he still was top 20 at the running back
position. Oh, how I argued with Maurice Jones-Drew and Adam Rank about him.
Kyle Shanahan coming in.
No, I think it's good. I agree with you.
The question is he a fit for that offense? Can they fit what he does into that offense?
He's the most talented runner who nobody seems to really know
about. He's in a contract year. The problem is he can't stay on the field. If this guy was guaranteed to give me 15 games, he's a second-round pick, maybe a third-round pick.
What about Leonard Fournette's situation? That seems like that they want to feed him the ball a ton. You know, Tom Coughlin. I know he's not the head coach. People keep saying, you know, Dave, you keep mentioning Tom. Yeah, but do you think Tom Coughlin – why is he hired if he's not going to have any influence on philosophy?
Of course
he's going to. But the offensive line continues to stink.
Mark.
What about that? How bad do you want that guy?
You got Cam Robinson. Hopefully he can help a little bit. And Fournette's a guy who I think – despite the fact that the offensive line is not as good as we'd hoped it could be, at this point, he's still a guy who's going to make plays. I could see rushing for 1,000 yards in the NFL right now. I mean, it's not like this glorious achievement that it was in the past. If he gives you 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns, I mean, that's Isaiah Crowell kind of numbers right around in that area. He's an RB2, and that's where
there are a lot of the running back position. There may be some fallback based on what their overall production was a year ago, but there's some fascinating names to sort of consider, and they're really what we can divine in May. I don't know that we'll have answers for it at Labor Day, let alone now. But let's go through a few of those names right now. First of all, Marshawn Lynch.
Yep.
How say you? How effective can you be? Cynthia, what evidence is there that you can take off a whole year in your career at this age and come back? Is it reasonable to think that the Oakland/Vegas Raiders are going to feed him 20 times a game?
I think it's reasonable, but I think we got to watch what happens in training camp. I think we got to watch what happens, like what happens with what are we seeing on the field? And like I said, third preseason game when we get some sneak peeks, because I wouldn't be surprised if they limit his reps. Not necessarily because he's not going to be able to handle it, but because I think they'll probably try to create they have a super hard schedule. So they're going to try to create situations where they're going to get bigger gains. Their entire division has the hardest schedule this next coming season.
So it's not a panacea to your lineup to go and get Marshawn Lynch. Don't overreach on a guy this
I don't know about – this one's one I have circled as wait and see.
Okay.
Just because I think he could be super-duper effective, but I also see them using it as creating a scheme that makes all of their running backs work. They didn't draft very many wide receivers. They picked a lot up as undrafted free agents, right when the draft was over. So I'm just curious what they're doing in general. I think their strategy is always fascinating to me. So it's going to be really interesting to see, because they didn't draft. I thought they would at least draft at least one more wide receiver, but they kind of kept it pretty sparse. They picked up the USC Isaac Whitney right after. So it's interesting to see what happens.
Well, there's the guy who's out there,
there's pros and cons with him.
One guy who's out there to me, and if Marshawn Lynch doesn't look great, the guy who I think a lot of teams, and there's only one of him, so teams better not wait too long. But LeGarrette Blount continues to be out there. Now that we've seen Lynch, Jamal Charles, and Adrian Peterson all finally land somewhere, now the guy who led the league in touchdowns a year ago still is floating out there.
Isn't that weird?
Why not the Packers? Where are the Packers in this? Why don't they go get him? They don't. What they wanted from Eddie Lacy for all these years, there's LeGarrette Blount.
What about the
ready
Ravens?
To do exactly
but
that.
This is
the Ravens
a business
could
decision.
Use him too.
This is a business decision. They know what they're getting with him. He has NFL tape. Volumes of it. We know who he is, right? So if you wait and you take all of these you take all these undrafted guys, you take all your people, you have a million people on your team right now, 90, and you're evaluating all of these things, because you can't sign him for the same type of things you sign these restricted free agents for. You're not getting a $10,000 look at him. You either have to sign him or you have to pass on him. There's no and right now they're doing these $10,000, $20,000 looks at players. So right now it's just not from a business standpoint, they would have to make a couple million dollar investment as opposed to little tiny $10,000 bet.
Fabiano, let's go from the Seahawks former running back to their new, I assume, feature back, but who knows with CJ Procise. I don't know what's going to be. Eddie Lacy, what do you think here? A flyer? Do you feel like that's a flyer? Do you think that they install him as their guy?
They're going to give him every chance to be the featured back. They gave him $5.5 million.
A lot of loot this year.
That's starters money, right? I mean, I believe that's top 10 running back money. So they're going to give him a shot. I guess I'm sort of scorn over the last couple of years where he's done very little. He's been banged up. He's been heavy. And he's been a disappointment for fantasy owners. Now, with that being said, can he come in? And it's basically a prove it 1 year deal because he's going to be looking for a new contract in 2018. Come in, he's going to have the opportunity to be the guy. Seattle's offensive line has got some question marks too as well. But I don't see CJ Procise disappearing, and as average as Thomas Rawls was last year, I don't see him completely disappearing either. So Lacy was an RB1 for his first couple of years in fantasy. Now I see him as a flex star. I actually drafted him in our mock yesterday. I think it was a fifth rounder. I'm like, at this point, as my third running back, I'll take a shot on him.
Fifth, right? I wouldn't go near him in the fifth round.
Where he's going to go, Dave, because the top running backs are going to go quick.
And always hurt? That's not a good
thing. They're going to go quick.
And career-long questions about how much he likes playing football? That's a triple whammy in my book. I don't know.
But he did like his garage sale. I loved that.
That was very fun.
That was pretty funny.
I agree.
I had a garage sale when I left Connecticut.
One thing I know you don't have a sense of humor about is, but it is, frankly, kind
it's
of perfect.
It's not funny.
I know. It's kind of perfect, though.
But it's
that
not
on the
funny.
Same day the Pittsburgh Steelers do something very Steelery, and they take a kid from the same stadium. He didn't even have to change his locker out, probably.
Great.
James Conner, within the division, the Cincinnati Bengals go and get... They bungle like nobody's business. They go get Joe Mixon.
Okay, let me say my one thing on Joe Mixon.
I know you said as a Lions fan, if they drafted him, you wouldn't cheer for the Lions anymore.
So here's my thing about Joe Mixon. We're all missing the real opportunity here. The real opportunity is to create the right set of rules so that going forward we set the standard, just like the NFL should set the standard for anything. So for me, the thing that because I was like, why am I so mad about Joe Mixon? He went through all the stuff. He stopped. He didn't play for a year. It was 3 years ago. You should give people second chances because I do believe in second chances. But I think my problem was that I didn't think he should have the same draft experience as all the guys who hadn't done anything like that. So to me, we're all missing the opportunity to create a better future. So for example, maybe you say something like Joe Mixon can play in the league, but he can't be drafted and he has to wait 1 year after graduating. So you have to fulfill your academic requirements, then you have to wait a year. And then that could be a little bit more of a deterrent for people in the future who are potentially thinking about putting themselves in bad situations. Because look at Caleb Brantley. Caleb Brantley, 2 weeks before the draft, does something, or 2 or 3 weeks, whatever, before the draft, does something. You know, now the Browns drafted him. Yes, they did draft him late, and they may not keep him or whatever, but it didn't really deter him. Perhaps if we had a rule in place where you had to sit a year after you graduated, like, then we could have a better – then we could lead by example.
I don't want to go all the way
but
down
that was
the rabbit
it.
Hole. But
I'm just saying.
But
my
now
point
I'm
is like –
deep in it, so I'll say this.
Bunnies.
My point has always been, for the entirety of the player conduct policy, is if – our nation's laws aren't enough of a deterrent, then why would anything in addition to that be a deterrent? I mean, what's the more looming concern in your brain? Like, I don't want to go to jail.
If you don't think you're going to go to jail because you've seen people plea, then perhaps your inability to make an extra million such dollars in a small... I mean, that's a life-changing amount of money. And people, nobody comes from the same background. We all have to learn lessons different ways. We've all made mistakes. We all deserve second chances. However, if you're saying that you don't get any... that you get the same first chance as someone who kept it clean and like really like just tried hard and did the right things... You know, I don't know if I think that's the right way to handle it.
That being said, how many points will Mixon score in PPR score?
No. No,
but will
fine.
Mixon be
you're
good?
Fine.
Will Mixon be
yeah,
good?
Yeah, Mixon's a good player.
I've got him projected to be the leader of that backfield. Maybe not week one, but sooner rather than later. Jeremy Hill, over his last couple of years, has averaged fewer than 4 yards a carry. Not good. He has scored 20 touchdowns on the ground during that time, but that's really been most of his value. He's been very touchdown dependent. And Gio Bernard's coming off an ACL, and he got hurt in November. So, I mean, I know players come back from ACLs quicker than ever before now, but you have to wonder if he's going to be 100% getting into training camp. So Mixon is going to be the good
he's
or
a
bad,
good player.
He's going to be the guy that fantasy owners are targeting out of that backfield.
Who's
I just
offensive?
Don't know if I put anyone in that high because there's so many question marks.
The offensive line lost two big pieces, too, in Cincinnati.
Right.
And they didn't draft any offensive linemen, which
I thought was
strange.
Well, they did.
But I think they got Ross and they got Mixon because they want to get people open in space.
Right,
teams out.
And beyond that, they drafted the replacements for the guys who departed over the last couple of years. So they're not – the cupboard isn't completely bare, but – unproven is maybe we can put it
I just
that
think
way.
There's and I think it's too crowded. I think if you're getting Joe Mixon as your RB19, you're getting fine value, but if you can get him late, like if I would try to get him later, because you don't even know those first three games
he could be nothing. The hype around Mixon, Fournette, and Cook are going to be so big that
they'll get overdrafted.
Any one of the three of them will be on the board after the sixth round.
And Dalvin Cook. Put those in an order for me. As best
who I think
can.
Is going to end up better or who starts off the season
no,
better?
2017. Who's the best fantasy?
I've got Fournette, Cook, and then Mixon.
I switch that around. Cook, Fournette, Mixon.
Okay. And then what about McCaffrey?
McCaffrey is – well, between those three guys, McCaffrey I have as the second best running back from a fantasy standpoint. I think he'll end up being the second running back drafted in most leagues because of his versatility, because this guy could end up giving you 500 yards receiving on top of maybe 500 or 600 yards as a running back. And Jonathan Stewart, he's been banged up for most
of
his career.
But they're loyal to Jonathan Stewart.
But loyalty only goes so far. If they drafted this kid eighth overall, he's 30 years old. And the fact of the matter is that McCaffrey was drafted in a spot where the Carolina Panthers have to use him, and they will use him, despite the fact that their offense – a lot of people say, well, it doesn't fit the versatile pass-catching running back in the past. They've never had a kid like McCaffrey to throw the football to out of the back.
Well, but Jonathan Stewart, at worst, is a nice fail-safe for the kid. When he's healthy, he is his entire career has been plagued by injury, but when he's out
healthy,
there.
That's
let me I interrupt
seems,
you.
It seems logical to me. Oh, you can just like,
well, I listen.
Well, we have to talk about
this. To do. Over-Undies, it's time to talk about today's Over-Undies brought to you by Me Undies. It's the fantasy edition.
Ooh, in 2016, fantasy Me Undies.
Nice.
In 2016, Aaron Rodgers had the most fantasy points, finishing the season with a total of 380.02. Don't want to leave out the 0-2 points using NFL's standard scoring. The second best performing QB, Matt Ryan. Was Aaron Rodgers' margin of victory over fellow QB Matt Ryan over or undie 29.5 points?
Over or undie?
Yes.
Undie.
I'm going to say undie. Ryan was excellent.
Both of you experts are incorrect.
Wow.
Over Aaron Rodgers, 32.56.
Oh, we were wrong by less than 3 points.
Precision. That's the name of the
less
game, Fabiana.
1%.
The name of the game.
We're 1% wrong.
Now,
it's fine. With an
speaking
error.
Of close, I think this is pretty close. In fantasy terms, and it applies directly to overall production on the respective offenses. Whose offense? If I say you can have the QB, the feature running back, two wide receivers, and a tight end from this team, which one do you choose? AFC North, Pittsburgh Steelers, or Cincinnati Bengals?
Oh, who's Pittsburgh
Steelers.
You don't say like blah, 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 blah.
Wait a minute.
You were actually going to ask a real question there.
Is this a real question.
Is this Roethlisberger at home or on the road?
Oh, God. Because this whole home road thing.
I just gave you the whole thing, one and two. That's I mean, in real football terms, when people say Bucky Brooks, as a for instance, said to me after the draft, be scared, Sheck. Oh, those Bengals now with John Ross. First of all, I met John Ross in person, a really nice kid and everything, but my goodness, he's tiny. Oh, he's
who's bigger, me or him?
Oh, you're definitely bigger.
Well, you ever meet Deshaun Jackson? Deshaun Jackson's not the biggest dude either.
I'm saying, well, he's Deshaun Jackson size.
Yeah. And Deshaun Jackson's
right, well,
had a nice career.
Deshaun Jackson's bigger.
I know, but I did want to say to him.
I interviewed him. He is not that much taller than I am.
I mean, in heels.
And I am not
in
tall.
Heels, I think I got
it. Does worry me. It's like, you know, I do want to say to, like, John Ross, enjoy the – I didn't want to spoil the big moment, first-round draft pick and everything, but I just
– wow, you're like a little dude.
I wanted to put my arm around him and say, like, I just want to make sure we're clear. You understand that there are, like, 260-pound guys that run really fast. They're going to try – to hit
he ran the fastest 40 ever,
on
and
purpose.
Everybody loves the 40.
I don't know.
Overrated.
I think that's and AJ Green and Tyler Eifert.
Oh, I
so
love
Eifert
AJ
is
Green.
Definitely
Brandon
better.
Listen, I love
Tyler
AJ
Boyd.
Green.
Hey, Andy Dalton made out great in the draft.
Except for that line.
Forget Brandon LaFell.
Tyler Boyd now fills the slot.
But when AJ Green got hurt last year, Brandon LaFell wasn't bad for fantasy owners.
I know.
Look at the numbers.
So you agree the Steelers' offense? You know what jumps out to me?
Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell make that a no-brainer.
All right. Well, I hope you're right. The guy you didn't mention yet is Martavis Bryant.
Oh, I love.
What if he's ready to go?
I know. I remember.
And Ladarius Green is right. Well, let's just trip the light. Fantastic. Who's going to stop that? They're going to score 123 points a game.
You went to USC.
And Juju and Eli Rogers.
I was
and Jesse James. I know, yeah. Hey, Fabiano doesn't like any guy from USC.
No, I remind you, the
Steelers drafted a guy named Lynn Swann out of USC, and
that was 100 years ago. I'm talking about the last 10 to 15 years.
Ask the
Eagles about Nelson Aguilar.
What were the other running backs I wanted to run past you here to weigh in on? Let's move over to. You were trying to say wrap it up. Why don't you speak, Emma VP?
Emma,
you're right. I should have got on the mic and told you. We're 42 minutes.
We're at 42 minutes right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Real quick. That's embarrassing me in front of my guests. What about Adrian Peterson this year, Fabian?
Oh, well, the last two of the last 3 years.
Talk about a guy, too. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
I get it. Joe Mixon and Ray Rice. And as far as I'm concerned, they at least deserve some real scrutiny and what sort of penalty you want to mete out.
But this celebration
boggles my mind. I mean, Ray Rice, I'm not defending Ray Rice, but as I...
what are we doing here?
I'm not defending Ray
know,
Rice, but I must...
He's
got to be just sitting there scratching his head like, wait, what? Why is Adrian Peterson so celebrated?
So that's why you create a standard. And then you can abide by the standard. So then you don't have these, like, this, little bit of this, little bit of this, little bit, like, create a standard.
Threaten to walk out of 66. I apply no jive. I didn't attempt any defense of anyone else. I'm saying why continues to be elevated. I mean, that was some darkness.
I have friends back home in Connecticut whose parents had the belt, all right? And I was in a Catholic school for most of my life where – there were certain situations where if you didn't behave, you got the ruler on the knuckles.
All right,
I'm saying Aaron Hernandez.
That doesn't exactly
he grew
make
up
it
right. Near Aaron
I mean, I'm not saying it makes it right.
He did.
But people do that.
Kinda.
People do it.
He did.
Well, I know a lot of people do a lot of things that aren't the right thing to do. Doesn't mean you should.
Some
follow
of those people
suit.
Have no. turned out to be some of the best people I know, though.
All I'm saying is, stay away from Adrian Peterson in fantasy. I'm not buying it.
No, I'm right on board.
Really.
Over it.
Ingram, Peterson, I mean, you've got Alvin Kamara there, too. It's a mess.
I don't like Kamara either.
And Peterson's yards per carry average last year was garbage. It was under two in the
three games he had.
And he's 32 years old. He's had a lot of carries. He's had a lot of wear and tear on his body. And I don't know that he's going to make much of an impact for fantasy owners this season.
He is a guy that maybe is
a four.
He's like one of those one-week wonders. He'll have like 1 week where he's good, and then that's about it.
Yeah. Two more, and then we're done. NFC North, let's look at that. Ty Montgomery, how much can you depend on 88?
I think Jamal
Williams. And is he actually
Williams
changing
gonna,
his number?
Jamal Williams, no. I don't believe he
People
is.
Are tweeting yeah. me about that. And then,
I don't know.
And then
I thought Montgomery
Packers
tweeted
fans
something
let us know.
Out about another player with the same.
Yeah, I thought he said he wanted to keep 88.
I believe.
It ain't right.
No,
you know, I'm liberal with this number business too. I think you're really
left with the numbers, huh?
I think you should be allowed to. I think you should be a linebacker and wear 70. I think you should be a defensive lineman and wear 88 if that's your pleasure. But it goes too far. 88 in the backfield. How can I make sense of what's happening when that goes on?
Yeah,
you understand?
It is a bit confusing. But watch out for Jamal Williams because they drafted three running backs. Williams could end up being a guy. Who is the, I guess they always like to use the lightning and thunder sort of analogy. But he's a
We need to do
big,
analogy.
You like,
that,
you like to
back.
Use bell cow, and you have no idea what a bell cow is.
It's the cow's bell that they hit, right?
I mean, I you know, right? when people
they use,
use
those,
you know
like,
what,
when
I,
people
you know
use those
really
in rhymes,
me,
too.
When they, don't know what the, when they don't know what the cliche is, but they use it. Like,
when people say nonplussed, like to mean like, oh, like blah, that's not right. Nonplussed is furious. So let's just clear that one up now because that one drives
me. I've never heard that ever.
The wall. I'm nonplussed.
One day we have to go through. We did a great episode.
Furious.
We did a great episode last week where we did things that annoy us more than they should. If you want to float any, please.
I actually did listen to part of that, but I have a lot for.
Put your list together and then come in and we'll do that properly.
I have to look up this bell cow.
Last one before you go.
It's spelled kind of funny.
It's the cow that wears the bell because it's the one that.
That's what I said.
Well, I mean, kind of. But anyway, Freeland, weigh in on this for me. It seems to me. That I know the Packers are a division bully, and so it's hard for anyone else to get oxygen when there's one dominant team year after year. But the Detroit Lions have been close. I mean, actually, they have won the division and so on. Why can't they get a running back? It seems like that's what ails them. It's not the lack of Megatron. It's the lack of a nice running back. Why don't they solve that already? Well, do they have one now in on that roster that pleases you? Because they've addressed the offensive line.
They have a few. The problem is they can't stay healthy, like at all. Like there will always be at least one, if not all of them, injured at one time. And then you have Zach Zenner playing for – he had a great game. But, I mean, when Zach Zenner's starting, that means that, you know, Amir Abdul, everyone's gone. So right. So to me, they have two – you know, they've got good options. The problem is they can't stay healthy, and they can't get it together.
You know what we need to do? That's just the see. As I ask one question, it then spawns a number of other ones. We need to do a thing, Emma VP and Bartlett behind the glass. Just hashtag. Should it just be hashtag DDFP, and we'll get the questions that way? I guess that's the easiest way. But I think we should do over these next couple of months, along with our hooey and applesauce that we do in the offseason. There is no offseason at the DDFP. And we tackle the game of life. But let's also tackle the game of football, too. Let's do one hardcore analysis. Matt Stafford, is he good at football?
Yes. Matt Stafford is.
I don't answer. I want to. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do a full analysis.
I will give you a full, like, 10
minutes.
Break the numbers down. Yeah, the whole thing. And
guys like that, after all is said and done, what is Matt Stafford really? I mean, I know he's good compared to me, but is he good? Is he?
Yes.
Is he a starting quarterback that outside of the top eight QBs?
In this league? The quarterback out there right now, Josh McCown is a starter.
I am a Detroit truther. I will tell you where we are crappy. I will tell you that it's been hard life living me in this Honolulu blue lifestyle.
I would love to have that sentence on a piece of paper. It's Trump-esque. It's been hard me watching ball in here. Now I'm suddenly Irish.
It's similar.
Honolulu, aloha.
Stafford's excellent, man. Come on.
Excellent. I think so. I like him a lot better than most people do. I like him a lot.
Hey, and you know, my world is fantasy. He was a top 10 fantasy quarterback last year.
All right, like so Sheck. I also, in the vein of the gold thing, another segment I was thinking of for this offseason, I think we should do like one business analysis each show.
I'm not interested.
Yep.
Well, you can synthesize pro football for it in the game of life.
Like a business. Football player's business.
Business.
Yeah, their business, the things they do outside.
I don't understand.
I think it'd be great.
I don't understand.
Exactly.
Well, what am I, you know, I willfully, at a fairly early on in my adult life, made a willful choice, anything but business. I don't know what goes on. Why am I banging my head against the wall? I tuned out after long division in school.
Well, that's why you have me.
I don't like it. Don't
you
see?
Oh, you don't like me now.
No, what I don't like about math is, and I said this to a teacher in fourth grade, and it was a big kerfuffle, and Mo Damashek had to come in and support me, is when the teacher was talking about just, you know, was trying to make a point about, like, because 1 + 1 = 2. And I wanted to debate that. But why? Says who? Why isn't there, you know, that there's only one hard and fast answer with numbers is the worst thing. People like me, I want the blue book. I'll convince you that it equals 3. Give me my chance. You see?
I
don't like the numbers.
I don't disagree with you.
Right.
I think sometimes 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2.
Don't patronize me. I'm done.
You.
I'm not going to sit here and be spoken to like that.
He just crumbled up my top 200.
That's right. That's
well, he told
fault.
Me he didn't like me, so.
How you could have heard that, I don't know. Anyway, I got to get back to my curry bowl. It's now 45 minutes cold. So
yeah,
I'm ready for it. Cynthia Freeland, great stuff as always.
I think there's greenies in that curry bowl.
Fabian, I don't even know what that means either. I'm hoping. I'm hoping when I check my Twitter as soon as we get done here, I hope someone has thirsted me. I don't care who it is.
I'm going to thirst you right now.
Alan Ball thirsted me?
I'm going to thirst you.
All right. Do you, and should I tell everybody about MeUndies real quick before we wrap it up here? I do like to remind everybody because they are so soft, so supple on your tuchus.
Supple.
How do you spell thirsted?
Elevate your underwear game to the next level with MeUndies. What is it? Oh, they're seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. Designed here in L.A., made from sustainably sourced micromodal fabric, 3 times softer than cotton. They're softer than soft Luke's undies. And they come in a selection of classic colors, always changing, bold shades, adventurous patterns. Guess what, too? You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. Still save. MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Use our special URL, MeUndies.com/NFL2017. Get 20% off your first pair. Go ahead, revamp your underpants. You deserve it. Once again, that's MeUndies.com/NFL2017. Fabiano,
I thirst trapped you.
You've done it again. Freeland, you've done it again. Damashek, you've done it again. The holy trifecta. Fabiano really did.
He really did.
I did, buddy. I love you, Dave. Oh. You know that?
My here cup runneth over.
Wow.
Did you see the
That's
hashtag?
Two.
I made up a new one for you.
Greenies in the curry bowl. Last day at the NFL. I'm glad you were here for it. Give me the music one more time. I want to go out magnificently. It's been a great time working here, but now, listen. Good times. Bartlett, MVP, the rest of the gang behind the glass. We'll kibitz with you later on. In the meantime, go to NFL.com. Check out Fabiano's Top 200. Mull it over as the summer progresses. Talk to you later. It's been a thin slice. Heaven.